Welcome to our worship service this morning in Jesus' name. It's good to be gathered in God's house and on such a beautiful morning too, right? A little bit crisp, but as someone said walking in, just a little warmer today too. So it's maybe a heat wave for us here in January already, but we're glad you could make it, and we are excited for this time that we have together here now as we come together to hear God's word, to hear it preached, to hear it sung, to sing, and to spend this time in worship with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. If you are a visitor, we are glad that you are here today. Feel free to fill out a blue card. That's a way for us to get to know you a little bit better. If you have any prayer requests that you would like prayed for later in the service, you can fill out a yellow card and hand that off to the usher when they come around to take the offering, and that's then they'll get that to me, and then I can pray for that later in the service. I want to mention just a couple of quick prayer requests. Remember to pray for a couple families this week where there are funerals happening, and we've already been praying for the family of Pearl Erickson, who was Linda Fugelberg's mother, and so that funeral is going to be on Wednesday morning up in Roseau at 10 o'clock, and so pray for the Erickson and the Fugelberg families as they travel up there and spend that time together on Wednesday. And then just a few of you probably know Juanita Dura, and she attended here for just a brief time before she wasn't able to come to church anymore, and we've been visiting her in the nursing home for a number of years now, and she died here this week also. And so pray for the Dura family. Pray for Pastor Ward as he conducts the service on Tuesday. There's a visitation at Bolger Funeral Home on Tuesday afternoon at 1 o'clock, and then the funeral is at 2. And so pray for the Dura family here this week also. I want to mention just highlight a couple of announcements that you'll see in your bulletin. And as always, I encourage you to take a look through this as you are able, because I can't cover everything. Stick around though after the service if you are able for a coffee and fellowship time down in the fellowship hall, and so do that if you can. Stay for Sunday school, and this is our second week now of this new season of Sunday school. After Christmas, we have classes for children and youth, and then for the adults, we have three options for you. Pastor Bruce Dolliger is teaching a Bible study on Galatians back in the overflow room. There is a women's class down in their regular room down this far hallway here, and then I'm doing a class on marriage back in the youth room, which is in the room right behind the altar area here. And so please consider attending one of those. If you weren't there last week, it's okay. You can jump in. You can feel free to rotate between some of them also, and to catch what is being done. As youth group, just remember, you did get temporarily moved, and I do feel a little bit bad about that. I don't like to kick you out of your room, especially to the nursery, but that's where you are for the next number of weeks. And so you're in a room, and Wade will be a good help in helping you find that room if you can't find it down this far hallway as well. Yes. Okay. Tonight, basketball, family basketball at Ed Clapp Elementary. It's a fun time there, and come out for that from 6 to 8, or just for a portion of that if you are able. If you have questions about that, let me know after the service, and I can do my best to answer them. On Thursday afternoon this week, one of our missionaries is going to be here for just a time of coffee and fellowship, Johnny Sliver, and she is serving at our Miriam Infant Home, the orphanage down in Brazil. And so if you are free at 1 o'clock on Thursday and would like to come and just have an informal time of fellowship with her and chat with her, if you've met her, you know that she is a dynamic personality, is what I will call it. She's just really neat. And so come to the church at 1 o'clock on Thursday if you would like to have some time with her. And then next Sunday, this is the last thing that I think I'll mention here. Next Sunday is our annual meeting, and if you have a mailbox out here, you will have received an annual report, so go and grab that, pick that up, and take a look at it here in preparation for our meeting next week. If you don't have a mailbox, I should mention that too, and would like one, please let the church office know so that we can get you a mailbox, and there are extra reports out on the table in the hallway, and so if you're interested, you don't have to be a member to have a report. You are a part of this family too. You just don't get to vote next Sunday if you are a member, but you are invited and welcome to come to the meeting and to observe what goes on. And then just as a reminder, members 18 and over are the ones that are able to vote at that meeting. It's an important, necessary part of congregational life. This is how we voice our opinions and our spirit-led leadings, and I say it that way because I would invite you and encourage you to be in prayer this week for that meeting. There are some bigger decisions potentially that could be coming up, and so it's important to be praying for those, and the council meets this Wednesday, and so pray for them too as they make some final preparations for the meeting also. And I think that's all that I'm going to mention, other than with the annual meeting, with our two-service schedule now, it's a little bit inconvenient for early service people because you either get to stay for the whole morning or come back later, or you can come to the second service too next week. That's entirely up to you. But the meeting will be held after the second service. We'll have a light lunch here served for you after the second service, and then we will meet. And I think we're just going to plan to stay in the fellowship hall for our meeting next week also. So I think that's all that I'll say about that. Are there any other announcements that need to be made that I missed? And if not, then we are glad to have David and Martha Haugen here. And if you know Carol Haugen, I can refer to you as Carol's son. That's okay, yeah. And David and Martha are very active in a family life ministry called Weekend to Remember for married couples. And so they want to just share a little bit about that ministry, and I'll invite them to come up at this time.
I want to thank you for the opportunity to be with you this morning. As mentioned, we are volunteers with Family Life Ministries, and our purpose this morning is to encourage you to spend some time to focus on your marriage. Life gets busy. Jobs, responsibilities at home, if you have children and activities and everything going on with them, it's really easy to take that relationship between you and your spouse and sometimes just kind of put it to the back burner, push it aside a little bit, and get distracted with everything else going on. So we do want to encourage you to set aside a weekend to focus on your spouse, to focus on your marriage and each other by attending the Weekend to Remember Marriage Getaway.
Weekend to Remember is a biblically-based marriage getaway. And the topics that are covered there are things such as communication, conflict resolution, forgiveness, and a lot more. Some of the things that it is not is that there are no small groups. You don't have to share with the other people that are at the conference. And it's just a really great time to focus on your spouse and yourself.
Sometimes you wonder, okay, does this apply to me? Should I go? Maybe I'm too young. Maybe I'm too old. I'm very confident no one here is too old. Marriages have been there. We've been on some weekends where the bride and groom got married that Friday afternoon and were at the conference that evening. Others have celebrated their 50th anniversary and beyond. So people are there from every range of the marriage. Attending the Weekend to Remember doesn't indicate or mean that you have a problem with your marriage. It means that you have your marriage as a priority and you want to have your marriage continue to be strong. You want to take the good and make it better. And after having attended, we attended our first time a couple years ago. We do wish that we had gone earlier. There's some things that we had learned that said, yeah, this would have been nice. It could have been helpful and good.
So you're not married for whatever reason. We understand that that is not for you then. But there are other things that you can do to help your friends. Maybe it's by babysitting their children. Maybe it's by offering some finances to help some people go. Or maybe it's prayer support. This is a really biblically based, sound ministry that we really support and think that it's a great thing.
The registration cost, when you come to that point, if you're interested in going, only covers the cost of the conference. There are additional costs. You will have a hotel expense. You'll have meal expenses. And it does get to be costly, but there's ways to help with that as well. You do not have to stay at the site of the conference, so you can save money with a different hotel if that's needed. We encourage you to stay there. We think there's some benefit to that. We have a group code name if you any housing arrangement can work. We have a group code name. If you use a group code name when you're registering of Haugen's, you receive the best available price. You would get $100 off of the registration cost. Currently, through January 27th, you would receive 50% off of the registration by the group name, so that is beneficial to you. for those that either with the pastors here or others that you know, there's a process to go through. Pastors are able to attend for free registration, and there are special discounted prices for active military if you know people involved in that.
So Weekend to Remembers are held throughout the country. There's two weekends in Minneapolis, March 6th through 8th and March 13th through 15th, that are held at the Mall of America in Bloomington. If you'd like to travel to attend, you can go anywhere you want to. Our discount works wherever, so you can do that. Or if you have family members, that's another way you could help somebody else. If you have family members in other parts of the country that would want to go, they could find someplace closer to their home as well. So after church, we're going to be out kind of by the office area. If anybody has any questions, we also have brochures if you'd like to take that and look at it. There's a website listed on there, too, that you can look at for more information. And just let us know if you have any questions. And thank you so much for letting us be here.
Thank you.
Thank you, David and Martha. They are members at our AFLC church in Fergus Falls, and so we're glad that they were able to come up and spend this time with us this morning. Again, if you have questions for them, asking them questions doesn't mean you're signing up for it either, so go find them. They're also going to be, I think, hanging out with us in our Sunday school class, our marriage class back here, and so if you want to talk with them a little bit more, and I'm going to try to give them some time and some opportunity in that class if any of you have any questions you want to share or ask them at that time. Also, one other resource for you, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm pretty sure Wade and Marta have been to this weekend, and I think John and Sophia Dahl have also, and it could be that others, Lux, have been too, and I know that they at least vouch for it and say it's a beneficial time, and so you can feel free to ask some of those others in our congregation that have attended that weekend also, if you have any questions or thoughts about that. At this time then, if there's nothing else, let's hear our call to worship this morning, and it's from Psalm 24. It says, "The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory." As we gather to worship this glorious King, let's stand together and sing our opening hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear these words from God in Isaiah chapter 43. "Behold, look, see, I am doing a new thing," he says. "Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." And then a few verses later, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins." It is my joy and privilege to declare to you today that God in his mercy blots out your transgressions. He forgives your sins for his son's sake. And by faith in him, we have cleansing, washing, a washing of regeneration that we're going to talk about later in the service, in our sermon also. And so that we can stand before God, spotless and righteous, clothed in Christ's righteousness, the perfection and the innocence that he won for us that day on the cross. We rejoice in that, we praise him, and we thank him for the forgiveness that is ours today. Amen. This time I'll call on Kurt Tweet to read our scripture.
The first reading for today is from Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Please stand for the reading of God's word. Isaiah 42, beginning with verse 1. "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his law. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. The second reading is from Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 38. Acts chapter 10, beginning with verse 34. So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, you yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him."
Let's confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen and amen. You may be seated. At this time, I will call on the ushers to wait upon us. We're in Matthew chapter 3 this morning, and if you have your Bibles with you, I'd invite you to turn there. As I read, you can follow along. The verses will be on the screen as well, and if you're able, stand with me, if you will too, out of respect for God's word. Matthew chapter 3, beginning with verse 13. Reading this morning in Jesus' name. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." God, I thank you for these words, and what a beautiful scene these words describe, where you acknowledge that your Son, his person, his work, his life, was acceptable to you, the holy and righteous God. And Lord, I pray that as we study these words, that you would help us to see the beauty of your love for us to make us acceptable to you. God, I pray that you would bless this time. I pray that you would be with us. I pray that your Spirit would descend to us here in your word. In your name I pray, amen. You may be seated. The church, and I'm talking about the greater church, okay, the body of Christ, so not just St. Paul's congregation. The church has a calendar, and the calendar has seasons, just like our regular calendars have spring and fall and winter and summer. We just finished the seasons of Advent and Christmas. Christmas is a short season, even shorter than our summers. We are in Epiphany season now, and in a handful of weeks, we will start the season of Lent. Many congregations nowadays don't really talk or teach about the church calendar. It's more common to hear it in Lutheran and Anglican and Catholic congregations, and it really isn't that big of a deal that other congregations don't talk about it as much. We really here don't talk about it a whole lot either, even though it's in our bulletin every week. If you notice that, it tells us which Sunday of the year it is. It tells us our scripture texts for the week. The calendar does that. We see colors change throughout the year up here and so forth. But there are benefits to it, even though we don't spend a lot of time with it. Last week, if you were here, I mentioned a few times about the value of the Christmas season, not limiting the joy and depth of that message to that message of Christmas to just one day. Christmas is so much bigger than that. Having those 12 days each year is a valuable reminder to us that what matters about Christmas doesn't end on December 26th. The birth of Christ isn't the end of a season or the end of a message. Jesus' birth was just the beginning of something very eternally special. And the church calendar helps us to remember that. Another benefit of the church calendar is that it centers on the life of Christ and the life of the church. It keeps us centered on Christ and his bride. That's a good thing. It reminds us every year of important events in the life of Christ, highlighted, of course, by his birth and death and resurrection, Christmas and Easter. But this in-between time now is dedicated to the life and ministry of Jesus. And as we begin this season between Christmas and Easter, our text takes us to the beginning of the ministry of Jesus here on this earth, his baptism. And here's another reason that there's value in the church calendar. Every year, we are provided an opportunity to talk about a very important doctrine. We talk about baptism more than once a year, but this is a designated time that churches all over the world today are talking about baptism. And it's a good time for us to spend with it here today because it's one of the most provocative doctrines for sure within broader American evangelicalism. And sometimes even within congregations, I doubt that everyone here believes exactly the same thing about baptism. And sometimes that can be hard. But instead of the human tendency to sweep difficult issues under the rug, the church calendar gives us an opportunity to deal with it together at least once every year, and that's a very healthy thing to talk about this. And so we're going to study baptism today on this Sunday designated to celebrate the baptism of our Lord. This is not in any way an exhaustive study of baptism, and I have to be very clear about that. We would be here a really long time if that was going to try to happen. As always, if this stirs up more questions for you, find me. That's part of what you all pay me to be here to do. Today we are going to just focus on one small part of the discussion on baptism. Is baptism necessary? Is baptism necessary? Jesus commissions his disciples to make disciples by baptizing. And so if someone is not baptized, are they not a disciple? In John 3, Jesus says that you must be born of water and spirit to enter the kingdom of God. In Acts 2, Peter preaches repentance for baptism for the forgiveness of your sins. And so, do you have to be baptized to be forgiven? A big part of answering the question of the necessity of baptism is dealing with the very definition of baptism. And so I'm praying that we kind of get that today too. And I'm also praying, very simply, that this will mean something for you. Because Jesus' very coming to this earth and all that he did on this earth, including his baptism, was very purposeful, and his purpose has very personal implications, yes, for you. We get an indication of the purposeful nature of Christ and this baptism right away in verse 13. It says that he came from Galilee to the Jordan to find John. This was at least a 15-mile trip, and it likely was much more than that. Now, 15 miles maybe doesn't sound so much for you and I, but 2,000 years ago, that was a significant journey. It was necessary for Jesus to be baptized and to be baptized by John in the Jordan River, and so he went. The time had come for him to begin his public ministry on this earth, and he gets there, and verse 14 says, John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? In other words, John tried to prevent him. John tried to prevent this, to stop this. Standing, think about this, standing before the Son of God, John saw his own imperfection in the light of the righteousness of Jesus. You see, baptism cleanses. It washes away sin, the Bible says. That's Acts 22:16. And here is the perfectly righteous, sinless Son of God standing before John, and there's no need for baptism here. Was baptism necessary for Jesus? No, John says. I'm not going to do this. I need to be baptized by you. And here you are coming to me. Look at how Jesus answers. Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Simple statement. Sentence, and then it says, John consented. These are the first recorded words of Jesus in the book of Matthew, and boy, do they set a tone for his ministry and the purpose of it, the whole reason he came in the first place. And this really helps us to know what baptism is and why it's so important for us. Just like that, these words totally changed John's perspective and his attitude about it. He says, no way, I am not taking part in this. You don't need this. I need this. This is not for me to do. Jesus says one sentence, and John says, okay, I'll do it. So what is it about this sentence? These words were powerful for John. They were rich in meaning, and they are for us today. On the surface for Jesus, baptism was not necessary because he was sinless. But Jesus was here for something so much more. We saw it at his birth. The eternal Son of God taking on mortal flesh purposefully, intentionally, choosing to set heaven aside and come and take on humanity and everything that comes with it. And he did it for your sake. 2 Corinthians 5:21 so crystallizes what's going on here in Matthew 3. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin. Jesus chose to take on human flesh for you, for your sake. Jesus says to John that he needs to do this to fulfill righteousness, not to make himself righteous. He already was, as John pointed out. But to fulfill whose righteousness then? Yours, mine. He was doing this for you and for me, for our sake. Baptism was necessary for him in this process of becoming our substitute. Jesus, the Son of God, became a baby, a human, ultimately to take our place, right? And as he begins his ministry, that's the process that he is continuing here. He is identifying with sinners. Luther says it this way, Christ accepted it from John for the reason that he was entering into our stead. Indeed, our person, that is, he was becoming a sinner for us, taking upon himself the sins which he had not committed and wiping them out and drowning them in his holy baptism. Christ's purpose and his mission on this earth was to be your substitute, to take on your sin and its penalty and to give you his righteousness, to fulfill righteousness for you. That's the second part of that verse in 2 Corinthians. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We need that righteousness. This is really important. Because it's only the righteousness of Christ that is well-pleasing to the Father. That's that beautiful, powerful, and authoritative voice in verse 17 of our text, thundering down from heaven, "This is my son. I am pleased with him." It's the righteousness of Christ that pleases the Father. We need that righteousness. Would you like for God to accept you? And if you're a Christian, and if you've been a Christian for a lot of years, it's still good for us to think about this. Would you like for God to be pleased by you? Your sin prevents that. This is a big deal because it carries eternal ramifications. Our only hope for heaven rests entirely on the work of Jesus on our behalf. He is our only hope. His work that began with him taking on our flesh when he was born. His work that continued when he was baptized, living his life and then sacrificing that life on the cross and then overcoming death itself and rising victorious over the grave. He shed his spotless blood to cover you in his righteousness. He took on your penalty to give you the righteousness that pleases the Father. Nothing else will do. Baptism joins us in that. This is why Jesus was baptized, and this is why you and I need to be baptized. Romans 6 says that we are buried with him, or with Christ, by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Baptism connects us to the atoning work of Christ on the cross and his life-giving victory over the grave. And it's important here to point out a potential stumbling block with that. People say, well, that's just water. How does water do that? Okay, I love our catechism here at this point. Because you see, Jesus being baptized in our text was not, and I need to be clear. Okay, Jesus being baptized in our text was not him directing a set of ritual motions for us to go through that carry no other meaning. That's not what he was doing here. That is not historic Lutheran teaching. That's not what we believe. This was all a part of him taking our place, becoming one of us, the Word becoming flesh, so that the life-giving Word might come to you. Our catechism says it isn't the water that does such great things. This isn't a mere ritual that we just slap salvation onto. This is a God-ordained way that he delivers his life-giving Word to you. What's so great about baptism? It's not the water. It's not the pastor. It's not the parents. What matters in baptism? It's the Word of God and faith that God gives that relies on that Word. If there's no Word, if there's no Word made flesh, if there's no Christ, it's just water. But with the Word of God, it is baptism, a gracious water of life, a washing of regeneration. This is Titus chapter 3. He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness. Do you hear that? What's the righteousness that pleases God? He saves us not by works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified, being made right by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Is baptism necessary? You bet it is. Christ commanded it. and look at the treasure that it is. If you've never been baptized, I would love to talk with you after the service, and I mean that. Young or old, please find me. Sometimes the necessity of baptism rubs people the wrong way. And there are scads of real life examples that seem to show that a person doesn't have to be baptized to go to heaven. The one in the Bible that gets used so much is the thief on the cross, okay? So based on what we know, that man was converted on the cross and Jesus promised him paradise. And while he may have been baptized earlier in life, it's unlikely, okay? And so the best way to answer the question of the necessity of baptism is to say that it's necessary. God tells us to do it. It's necessary, but not absolutely necessary. That's what we would say. Yes, I do believe there are people in heaven, lots of people in heaven, who were not baptized. And the reason why we can say that is because of what baptism is not and what it is. It is not a ritual of law that is required for us to complete. That's not what it is. But what it is gospel. It is good news. That's what baptism is. And like I mentioned earlier, baptism is one way that God delivers his life-giving word to us. We call it a means of grace. It is a very extension of God's grace. It is a way that God's grace comes to us. But the primary means is the word itself. And baptism is really just an extension of that word, like I said. And so God's grace comes to someone through the word. That's what happens. Does God's grace come to us in his word? Yeah. And if there's not opportunity for baptism, God is gracious and merciful. But we don't use that to then diminish the importance and the value of the gift of God's word that is given in baptism. It is important. It is necessary. This is the way that Christ became one of us, and we follow him as he leads us. We are clothed in his righteousness as he leads us out of slavery, okay? So this is the picture, and I'll close with this here this morning. Picture the Israelites in the Exodus. This is the way of God's people. Covered by the blood of the spotless lamb, Passover in Egypt. Saved from death, freed from slavery, and brought through the waters of the Red Sea. 1 Corinthians 10 calls that Red Sea episode a baptism. This is the way of Christ. Freed from slavery, covered in the blood of Christ, brought through the waters. This is the way of Christ who was also brought out of Egypt, who was baptized. Jesus, in the next chapter, goes straight into the wilderness as the Israelites did, as you and I do, where we are wandering in this wilderness, waiting to go to the promised land. That's exactly where Jesus leads us. He's with us all the way through death and into eternal life because he's the one who paved the way for us. Dear Christian, rejoice today in faith. Rejoice that in your baptism, connected to the death and resurrection of Jesus, righteousness has been fulfilled. That with Christ, that in Christ, God sees you and he says, "You are my beloved child. I am pleased with you." Amen. Let's sing together hymn number 412, "There is a Fountain Filled with Blood." Let's stand and sing this together. Dear Lord, I love that picture in that last verse when this poor, lisping, stammering, sinful tongue lies silent in the grave, will sing your power to save. God, I am so grateful to you today for your victory over the grave, for your power to save us, because you came, because you were born, you took on flesh, you were baptized, you lived this life, you died the death that we deserve, and bore our penalty, and rose victorious over the grave, and have graciously in your word given us eternal life by faith in you. God, I pray that if there is anyone here who doesn't know you, who is not trusting in you, that you would work a miracle in their hearts and lives. Bring them to faith. Help them to see you as the one who saves them from their sin. God, I pray for each of us that each day you would remind us, you would show us the rock that we stand on, the rock that is you, that we would put all of our hope, our trust in you and you alone, and in your righteousness that is ours by faith. Lord, I pray for those who are hurting today. I pray for specifically the Erickson and Fugelberg families and the Dura family. Lord, I pray that you would comfort those who are hurting today. I pray for others who may be fighting different illnesses and things like that. And God, I pray that you would protect us in this season of sickness too from those things. God, I pray that you would give us strength for each day. Lord, I thank you for our Sunday school. Bless the time that is coming up here. I thank you for the gift of marriage. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless David and Martha and their work to that end and their encouragement. And God, I pray that you would defend and protect all of our marriages in our midst. For those who aren't married, Lord, I pray too that you would help those to find joy and peace in where you have them in life. And God, I pray that you would use the wonderful gift of marriage in a wonderful way in each of our lives, in so many ways. Thank you, God, for your creativity in that end and for how good you are to us. God, I pray for any who are traveling today too and throughout this week, and I think of those going to funerals and Lord, there's a lot of time that we spend on the road, and so I pray for safe travels also for everyone. Keep us safe, Lord. Thank you for how you do that in so many ways. Hear us as we pray together the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now receive the benediction. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.